lock you to life in your bottles, through scripture reading. The scripture reading before the first hymn, second hymn I mean. And I am going to read from Galatians 5, verses from 16 right through to the end. And it deals with the subject in which I'm going to deal with today. I'm only touching on this one once, but it's the basis of a theme that I'm going to work on. And it talks about, in my Bible, life by the Spirit. So I say, verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and it goes through several there. It goes through several in verse 19, verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and so on. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking and envying each other. I start that this morning, and may God bless that passage of Scripture this morning as I open the Word of God later on in the morning here, or later after the second hymn, with what we're going to say. Thank you very much. Thank you. A short little story for the children. Have you ever lost something in your home and found it? I can tell you a story that I lost something in 1955. A coin. In 1955, when I was 11 years old, I lost a coin. I lost a coin. It's a transport coin, as you could well imagine. As you know, it dealt with railways. It's my passion. Years and years and years went by. I had the book, but I didn't have the coin. Lo and behold, while I was in Melbourne last week, a man came along to me, a friend of mine in the railway business. He said to me, "Would you miss something if I gave? Would you appreciate something if I gave it to you?" "Yes. What do you got?" And he gave me the coin. It's the very coin that I lost back in 1955. Not the coin, but the very a copy of the coin that I lost back in 1955. 3 weeks ago. Put in my hand like that. So you see, there is a reason for everything. A reason for everything, and everything has a reason. We wait sometimes for a lot of things. And sometimes it takes years to happen. Now, I've been also, while I've been away, I've been visiting one of Peter Tung's hospital patients in Melbourne at the airport. He's been on his back. He had a very, very serious bike accident. And he told me that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. He had a bike accident in this town about 4 weeks ago. And I managed to find him. And he was airlifted out of here. And within 4 weeks, four or five weeks ago, fractured face, broken arm, broken collarbone, fractured pelvis, and about four or five broken ribs. And he has to lay on his back in a hospital ward in the Epworth Hospital. And all I had to go on in the Epworth Hospital was a bed number, bed 1080. Now, if you understand the Epworth Hospital, I found out, it's like a rabbit warren. And I managed to find him.
last Sabbath afternoon, I spent nearly 2.5 hours with that man, just talking about general things. During that conversation with me, yes, he said, I found out through your railway club that you're a Seventh Day Adventist. I said, yes. Thank you very much. And he applauded me for what I am. So you see, there is a need out there for us to be able to come before God and to enlighten people about Jesus Christ. You never know where it's going to end up. A little seed, we'll talk about that in a minute. A little seed was sown. The seed was there. We'll talk about that in a minute. The seed. And so today I would open my presentation with that thought that's on the board. That's only the first side. Don't be alarmed. School's not over yet. You're not going home just yet. There's more on the other side. Now, take note of what's on the board. I'll read it from here. A true Christian is one whose heart is not only swept clean, but is filled in a wonderful and mysterious way with the Holy Spirit. If and when we are able to comprehend this truth, the effect on our personal lives, our families, and subsequently on the life of the church will be immediate. Think about that. That's my thought for the day. That's the underlying thought for the day. If and when we are able to comprehend this truth, the effect on our personal lives, yes, our family, yes, and subsequently on the life of the church, it will be immediate to those around us. And so today, I am going to present a topic which has been done before, but I'm going to do it again, because we all need it. And it's talking on the other side about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to finish with that. I can go back to that later. If you copy it down, I'll keep it for those that want it. Have I gone the right way? I have. Now, don't die, and don't think I'm going to do every one of these. When I was surveying this particular topic, I have come up with a page with that that looks something like that, and I have about 35 to 40 references there on this one particular topic. They're not all there, I haven't got room. Where I want to start today is this. The concept: when the Holy Spirit lives inside a disciple, that's us, fruit is produced. Fruit, it says, singular, not plural, is the binatural product of being connected with God. In so starting, I'd like to start with this. That we start as a seed. We are unchristians, but we are guaranteed a life like this. It says delving into the word, the growth process of a tree. And thus I start this way. We start with a seed. I haven't had room to put this on the board. We start with a seed. Next comes the soil. Next comes the trunk or the vine of the tree. Then the branches. Then the fruit, the sun, and the rain, and the wind. When I look outside my front door and I see that huge big gum tree at my place, some I would think it'll be about 25 to 30 metres tall, I'm not sure. Huge big thing. It started life as a seed. It was planted when it was like that. Look at it today. It's still standing. The other night I came home on the coach from Ballarat. The number of trees which I saw blown over in the wind was absolutely astonishing. But that's the way the wind is, and that's the way things go. And so today I'm going to focus more on the left-hand passages, the main Bible passages down the side on the left-hand side.
The others are extensions of study, extra study if you so desire it. I'm going to start this morning with a text in probably one of my favourite chapters in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. I read this because I've got it written down here. Isaiah chapter 53. I've already written some of these down, so excuse me, I haven't got to turn the Bible up. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm leading somewhere. Isaiah 53 verse 3 reads this. And it talks this way. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In my Bible life that I have lived so far, there are certain chapters to me and books of the Bible which are blueprints in the Bible. Blueprint chapters that stand out. The next one I want to talk about this morning is John 3:16. I'm going to go through these, but I won't. I'll go down that side, then we'll branch off a little bit. John 3:16, oh come on, we all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right. Once again, we see growth. Now stay in John and come back to 15:13. 15:13, I've dealt with this one before under another title, but it fits right in with what we're going to talk about today. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Interesting. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says this. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. He has given us the Holy Spirit. When I am studying this particular passage today and this presentation today, I found the more I've delved into this, the more the Holy Spirit was active as I was reading it and able to find the verses on the board there. It is very, very interesting because the Holy Spirit is a growth, isn't it? As Christians, we are either, well, I'm not, I was born into it. I went to all the Sabbath school classes, I went right through JMVs, the whole thing. So I include that, that's it. But if you came into the Adventist message later in life, you came in as a tiny seed. You didn't know much. But, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we were able to learn. We were able to mature. If one went into a place where they grow plants, you know what I'm talking about, you see seeds being propagated from the start. The Holy Spirit has done in us the same way. We are given a chance with the aid of the Holy Spirit to make an advancement for Jesus Christ. Whereas it was put to me this way, we live in a world of modern age computers and all this sort of thing, email and everything like that. But way back then, now don't laugh at what I'm going to say now, but this was why it was put to explain to a young boy about his father just recently, down in Nullawarri. The Bible, it was described to him as God's newspaper. What do you mean? Says the young boy. I'm talking in the family now. He said, my father's details were in the paper. Yes.
My sister said to the young fella. But everybody knows about it now, doesn't he?
Yes.
What a horrible shame. Hang on a minute. Jesus put it in his newspaper too, didn't he? Oh, what do you mean? What about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Oh, yes. Oh, pretty. I got that. Everything's all right now. It's in the Bible. God's newspaper. I'm sorry to say, but that's the way it was displayed a little 8-year-old. And he understood where it was coming from, the problems involved in it. So, we are looking at things here in the Bible today, which, to me, mean a lot. Where was I up to? Oh, yes. Romans 5:5. Oh, you read that one, didn't I? Did I read Romans 5:5? Yes. Right. My next one is one of the main chapters in the Bible which I like. The whole chapter, but I'm going to pick pieces of it. The whole chapter to me is virtually a blueprint. A blueprint, if you like, for the things concerning us. And it talks about the first one, it talks about love. All right, now, I want to read something about this love. A crucial question, so, needs to be answered. What do we mean by love? The word itself has been so broadened and hence cheapened until it covers a multitude of acts and emotions that hardly do justice to the term. Today, is that correct? What does love mean today? Go back, say, 30 years ago or 50 years ago to our parents' days. Certain words meant certain things. Love meant more in those days probably than it does today. Everything is bombarded us with us today in a way in which we see things in the world. Bombarded us through the media, through the internet, through everything at all possible. Oh, buy this and you'll love that. Buy a size 12 pair of shoes and you'll like that. If you're so inclined, get a Lexus. Sit in this leather seat and you'll love the Lexus. But for a price. Love has been construed to such an extent today that it's lost its original meaning. It is out there. But what do? Where do we stand? The word itself has been so broadened that it's something else now. That's a shame, really, for me, I think, love. Because in love, I'm going to have a meal with you all here this afternoon, if I'm invited, which I think I am. Isn't it one of the loveliest things in the world to sit down with a friend, or as I sat with last Sabbath in Melbourne with a man, and talk with someone? Because one of the things in friendship, and we do in love, is if someone comes to our house, oh, sit down. We don't wash their feet, come and have a drink of water, a meal. But it extends far and far beyond that. It is something quite effective. And so I'm going to read through parts of verse chapter 13. And I'm going to start where will we start? If it can go through, it goes through. We'll start from verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, I have a faith that can move mountains. But have I not love? I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Then it goes through. Love is patient, love is kind and so forth, not envious, it does not boast and is not proud. It is not rude, for it is self-seeking, it is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes I've made that many mistakes in my life or done things wrong or maybe said something to somebody that I feel ashamed.
I can relate things in my life where people have said rude things to me and have come back and apologised to me later on. I won't go into that now. But sometimes it's quick to be angered and say something that you regret. Don't forget, this tongue is a very, very bad thing. It's got to stay in its place. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. I believe in telling the truth at all times. Because if you don't tell the truth, at some stage you are going to be found out somewhere down the line. And today it's quite easily to be read somewhere by somebody from a distance with all those mod con things with computers and things. But no matter what we do on the screen up here, people can read us, read what we're doing from somewhere else, and so be caught up in things that we're not supposed to be doing. To one extent, I say I'm lucky because I haven't got a computer, and I haven't got the email. Now, this is very interesting because someone said to me recently when I was up to some government meeting, have you got an email I can fax your details or email? No. Have you got this? Have you got that? No. I said, I've got nothing. Oh, you're one of those outcasts, eh? Yes, and I'm proud of it. I've got by this far. I can get by for the rest of my life. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. And it goes on. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now we see but a full reflection in the mirror. Then we shall see your face. Now I know in part that I know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. All right. Now I'm dealing with that today because it's very, very interesting. I'll get through these Bibles and texts, and then I'll come back to what I want to talk about. Not that I should want to. Ephesians, I might have it here. Ephesians 2:8. Yes. Ephesians 2:8 reads this: For it has been by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, but a gift of God. It's an interesting statement. You have been saved through faith. Faith is one of those things. It's on the board there. It's definitely one of those things in which we need to have. Because if we haven't got the faith in Jesus Christ, we are not going to grow. I can't see Jesus Christ now, because I'm on this earth, this sinful earth. But I can have the faith in Jesus Christ that He is going to look after me and bless me through the aid of the Holy Spirit with growth. The growth factor here is very important. If the growth factor is not there, I am going to be declining and not gaining anything. If I don't grow, I'm no good to anyone. If I grow, I get better. Come over to Philippians. Philippians, now it's here somewhere. I've seen it. Sorry. Where is it? Has someone got running a bit late? My fingers are a bit wet this morning. Sorry about that. There, oh no, here it is. The Philippians, got it? Philippians 4:11-13. Philippians 4:11-13. Now it reads this: thanks for their gifts. I am not saying this because I am in need. I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, to know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content, and in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do anything through him who gives me strength. Sometimes in our lives we are approached with situations, both helpful and or our situations in life, where we are need the strength of wisdom, the strength of knowledge, and just the outright strength of being able to stand up or lie down on a bed as the time requires. It is interesting. But if you look further down, in verse 17, it reads this: not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from that word the gifts that you sent. They are the fragrant offering you accepted. So matter whatever we are sent, tells us here in the Philippians, we are to be content with what we have. The growth pattern is there. It is there. 1 John 3:16 reads this. I've got it written, I've already written it here. For this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That more or less goes with the verse up there with John 15:13. I'm not going to go into any more about that. 1 John 4:8. This is an interesting one. Whoever does not know love does not know God, because God is love. All right. If I was going to ask you this and take this away into another slightly different direction, there are five sections there that I put down, just a few verses. I would like to ask you a few little questions now. Read this particular study. The Holy Spirit has a purpose for living inside the believers. Yes or no? Don't answer it, just think. Have you noticed the Holy Spirit working in your life? Can you share some experiences? Think again, just think in the mind. According to the scripture, there is evidence that the Holy Spirit lives and works inside all believers. Yes. The evidence reads this, that it's an inside job. Why do you think God set it up this way? Think of the tree. We can't see the growth in the tree or the plant. But during winter, that tree is dormant. And then in springtime, something happens. The sap comes up through the vine, or the sap comes up through the main trunk of the tree, and rejuvenates everything. It rejuvenates it in such a way that it bears plants. And it bears, it bears fruit. It's interesting to note that this is like us too. That if we bear fruit, we are being treated in a special way through ourselves. The question is put this way in the study. Paul says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and so forth, gentleness and self-control. Why does he say fruit? Why not fruits? Why not fruits? Then it puts a few little answers here. Fruit to me, and fruit here, suggests a finished product, i.e. an apple, banana,
cucumber or whatever, potatoes, carrots, whatever.
Fruit suggests or a period, a process over time. Fruit suggests a comparison to other types of fruit. Fruit suggests a package compiled of fruits. One has only got to think of a fruit salad. One can have pears and ice cream, or pears and custard for dessert. It'll taste a certain way. But if you mix and match, and you put a bit of this and a bit of that, and a bit of passion fruit there, oh, I see you like that, and ice cream on the top, you don't. Things change. Ever tried it with a bit of yogurt on it? Ooh, nice. Especially for old people like me. Paul puts the fruit in a certain order. He starts with love. Purest kind and totally selfish. Why do you think love is listed first? Love is something we learn from the Holy Spirit. Love is the key to the rest of the fruits. Love is the key to our relationship with God. Love is the key to our relationship with others. Love best describes who God is. If you remember, God and Jesus had a lot of interesting things. One of the things that was brought up here in this study today was that in certain instances, Jesus showed a love of understanding by declining Satan in the desert when he was tempted with the bread, and he was tempted with the all that hierarchy with the city, seeing the gold and the jewelry. Jesus had an ulterior motive at that time. An ulterior motive that he knew that if he gave in, we wouldn't be here today. As a result of that, he died for us. As a result of that, we can say, thank you, Lord. People often get frustrated about their faith. They doubt, they wonder, they falter. They cry out like a man who is in need to be healed. And it gives a reference of Mark 9:24. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness is the product of faith. Faithfulness is the result of having the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness is a process we all will get. Faithfulness is what a good and faithful servant had. Faithfulness is hanging on to God and not letting go in any circumstances. Hang on to God's hand. He will see you through. I can think of the hymns. I can think of the hymns in that book that reflect that particular pattern. We also have self-control is part of the growth process. Self-control is one of those things that when you're young and you're hot-headed and you've got a temper, off you go and rattle things on and you seem to do things that you shouldn't be, or go places, or do things with young people that you shouldn't. We see the evidence of that today. Self-control is a growth process. Self-control is also the product of having the Holy Spirit. I am learning to be content with the Holy Spirit and the Bible, because I have something in this world today that other people on the other side of this church do not have. But therefore there is something else there that I have to be. I'm put in this world to go out there and try and help those people. Sometimes we have to go into places, as Jesus did, into places where you probably not shouldn't be seen in this world, to get to people. But you never know where something's going to happen or somebody says something to you one day with love in their mind, like last Sabbath afternoon. Self-control is really spirit control. Self-control is a promise. Self-control means external forces can't control us. If I'm in self-control of myself and I don't drink, smoke, gamble, or do this or do that, whatever's bad, It means I'm in control of what I do. Now, the social media will have you believe that that's a bad thing because they want you to buy this, do that, get this and all that sort of thing. And send texts and send emails and all that stuff. Where does it get you? What do we have? Do we have this? Or do we have something else? It's interesting. Because if we delve into the Word, we see the tree. The question is asked, in the tree, that questions I ask, 1, 2, 3, 4, what does each step item represent? One of the questions that I highlighted here was, where do you place Jesus and why? Where do you place God? Or why? To me, the whole thing, from the must, from the seed, to the growth, to the finished product. One sees a seed, one sees trees. What about that big tree down in Denmark in Western Australia that you can actually drive through? Huge big thing, it's about 30 metres across, it's some big kauri tree, it's about 300 foot tall, and they've actually carved like an A-frame, and you can actually drive right through the tree, it's that big. I think of the North American fir trees. Up in the mountains. Hundreds of thousands of them. That close together that you can't see the canopy. Where the Pacific Ocean, the waters flow one way to the Pacific Ocean and they flow another way to the Atlantic. And what happens up there, the water goes down the plug hole one way and turns around the other way and goes down the other way. Depending on which side of the Rocky Mountains you're on. Where do you place the Holy Spirit? Where do you place yourselves? Where do you place the Word of God? In closing, yes, I would like to think about these couple of thoughts. Because I've got about 9 pages here, but I won't have time to do it. There's a common thread through all this. The common thread in my life, I am one man band. I'm single, proud of it. But I have something. I have a family, I have a God that cares. He knows the number of grey hairs on my head. He knows my aches and pains and ailments. He knows everything about me. How I am, am I feeling, how I look. But I have a family. A family that cares about me. Eh? Me, yes. And boy, if you don't ring up on Friday evening at 7:30, we'll be after you with a big stick. That's the magic time. Friday evening, 7:30. Hello, I'm all right. Yes, right, good, thank you. Bye, see you next week. Ta-da. Might only be 5 minutes, but there's a contact. What's it called? Touching base. If we touch base, we are keeping in line with our family. But furthermore, I need to touch base on a bigger note. With our family, my friends around me. And I need to touch base with this book. The Bible, through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Because if I don't do that, I'm neglecting myself. I'm neglecting myself in some ways. When we have faith in God, we act in faithful ways. Acts of faithfulness are the threads holding our belief and behaviour system together. Acts of belief. I'll just read two little things, maybe three. At times I've wondered what reading about people who lived 3,000 years ago has to do with me today. While I have come to understand that no matter when we live, the choices we make in respect to being faithful are universal and for all time. The Bible isn't a code book that has to be updated every day like the television news, though the experiences related in the Bible are from different times and different places. They are not about different people. My boss, it talks about here, in the maintenance shop at the college, used to say, people are people and folks are folks. I'll rephrase that to the Australian way. The test of faith for the people of God, whether past, present or future, are basically the same. The issues that people faced 2,000 years ago are the same ones that we are confronting today, only with a different shirt on or a different media. Another scenario I'd like to put on record here today. How's your faithfulness going? It reads this: he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Luke 16:10. I will close with this scenario. You're eating in a restaurant with your friends. The waiter brings you food. You're a Christian. There is a moment of awkward silence. You look at the others out of the corner of your eye. When you're at home, you always say the blessing. But here in the restaurant, well, you know how it is. You don't want to appear strange. How many times have we placed ourselves in that situation? We find, all right, I'll put another word here. Are you ashamed of the Bible? Quite often, I travel, I do a bit of travelling, as you well know. Railway stations, transport shops. And I see people in the train, bus or whatever, reading the Bible. Now I know it's a Bible. You can pick up on it's a Bible. You know what they're doing. They sit in the corner of the train, they're going like this, and they're looking around to see if anyone's looking, and they're into it, and they write a few things down. But they're reading the Bible. Are we so ashamed that we don't want to put that Bible out in the public view? Or we want to hide it behind our backs and read it in silence where no one can see us? I want to close with just the one thought. Why would God use the analogy of fruit? Why was love the first fruit mentioned? Was it a random meaning behind it? I say there was, because the fruit in the Old Testament, the tree of knowledge. If the fruit of the Spirit is the final manifestation, what is the seed that caused the tree to grow? And how does one bear fruit? It's an interesting thought. How does one bear fruit? By being faithful, persistent, the fruit of the Spirit, or being like that. You might remember, 6 years ago. It's still got a wealth of meaning today in the book. I've only mentioned some of the verses there. I've got a page full of them here that come out of these books. And a lesson, a complete lesson. This was an era, this was a particular inspiring Sabbath school period for me, and also a few sermons I've been able to do from it. But in closing, I would just like to say this. I am faithful and hope one day to be able to say, Lord, I am ready. I've done my best here on earth. I hope I haven't offended anybody or done anything wrong. If I have, I apologize. I put my hand out. And I hope and pray that as we go into this coming week, and I move into another phase of my unexpected life at the moment, that we will be able to go forward with the knowledge of Jesus, that if we are faithful, he will reward us with eternal life in due course. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be able to be here today, and we thank you that the Holy Spirit has been amongst us during this time this morning. Take us now for the remainder of this Sabbath day and the afternoon, and bring us back here again next week
Bless each and every heart here today, under whatever circumstances they may be. Bless them and guide them. And we, Lord, we're thankful for the rain and the things of the beauty which are around us in all things. There is a God out there. We just have to see it through the clouds and the mist. Sort it out. It's evident no matter where we go or what we see. Nighttime, daytime, evening or early morning. There's your evidence, Lord, that you are with us today in the world, no matter where we are. And I pray, Lord, that if we find ourselves in trouble at any time, anywhere, any street in life, that we will stop and pray to you to help us through the situation that we are involved in. Take each one of us now for the remainder of this Sabbath day. I ask these things in thy name. Amen.